When a human rights advocate picks up a camera, everything changes. Our next guest discovered the power of a victim's story when a face can be seen and a voice heard. Here, a father talks about his son, Mingqing Pong, who contracted leukemia after working for a Chinese supplier for Apple computer iPhones.
He just turned 26 years old. This should be the best time of his life. But unfortunately, he was diagnosed with leukemia in May 2009. After three examinations over 12 months, it was confirmed to be occupational leukemia, an aggressive form of cancer caused by benzene.
Benzene poisoning was allegedly responsible for the leukemia and what led to Mingqing Pong killing himself earlier this year. This story is from an uncompleted documentary called Who Pays the Price? The Human Cost of Cheap Electronics. The 9-minute trailer from the unfinished film has been posted online and viewed by millions. The documentary has already added to the global discussion of chemical contaminants in the manufacture of electronic devices. The trailer may have helped motivate Apple to ban benzene in the making of its devices earlier this year. Apple won't say if its changed policy had anything to do with the film, but director and producer Heather White is forging ahead to finish Who Pays the Price, which also tells the deeper story of protecting worker rights in booming China and the young people drawn to easy money in the tech industry.
Well, what happens is that when teenagers go into the factories, they're going in as unskilled workers. And so they're often initially tasked with basically just wiping cell phone screens. That's what a lot of the workers that I interviewed said that they had been doing. They'd been wiping the screens. They'd been wiping off the plastic components. There's a bottle of cleaning fluid, basically, that's a mix of several different chemicals. They often don't know what they are. They've received no training about it. And it's only after they fall sick that they start to become suspicious about what the source of the illness might be, because they really have no idea that they're even working with a poison in most cases.
And the most harmful agent that features in your story is what?
Is benzene. There's also n-hexane that features, and it's extremely harmful in that you can become paralyzed very quickly. There's a group of 39 girls that I've been interviewing that have been in the hospital for 2 years because they became paralyzed as a result of just being exposed to n-hexane for about 3 months. But benzene accumulates over a longer period of time, but then if you get leukemia, you have a good chance of dying from it.
So n-hexane is a neurotoxin, and benzene is similar to gasoline. And chemically speaking, how does it contribute to the manufacturing process? It's just a cleaning agent?
It's just a cleaning agent. It's not integral to the production. It's not necessary. And all the different experts and occupational health professionals that I've spoken with and interviewed have said that it's absolutely not necessary and can be substituted out for other alternatives that would be safer. Of course, they might cost a little more, which is one of the reasons why the factories have continued to use benzene. But it's also interesting to note that when Apple agreed to ban the use of benzene and n-hexane last month, they didn't announce a price increase.
We heard the voice of the father of a young man who ended his life after a diagnosis of leukemia. Is that an extreme case, or is that an example of what families are going through when young people are affected so terribly by these chemicals?
I think it's fairly common that families are very concerned that their children might commit suicide after this. Almost everyone I spoke to, especially the young men, said that when they received the diagnosis or when they woke up from their anesthesia and discovered that their right hand was missing after having been smashed in a machine, that they were planning on committing suicide. And one of the characters that we follow quite a bit in our film said he was absolutely planning on committing suicide, but then he met members of a nonprofit group that came through the hospital and said, no, don't kill yourself. There's thousands of others like you, and you're going to be able to help others if you start working with us, which is what he did.
But in the end, one of the characters you followed actually did commit suicide.
Yes, he committed suicide in January of this year after becoming despondent after receiving a terminal diagnosis. And, you know, we've heard quite a bit about suicides in the cell phone factories. Foxconn had a big problem a couple of years ago. But while I was there, I actually heard many cases in other factories as well where workers were committing suicide. I think it's a fairly widespread problem, either from the pressure or from finding out that they've got terminal diagnosis of something like leukemia. And also you have to be aware that when they get a diagnosis from the hospital, that they're also involved in a struggle for compensation from the factory. The factory doesn't want to pay for their medical expenses. So while they're sick, they're also fighting against the factory, trying to get them to compensate them back for the expenses that they're paying out for their treatment.
So sick and financially going bankrupt.
Exactly.
So when you were doing this investigation, you encountered Apple and other manufacturers, and they reacted to your investigation, and that reaction came last month.
Yes. Once the trailer went up, several campaigns around the world started putting pressure on Apple and other cell phone companies, specifically targeting benzene as well. And I'd been writing letters with Apple back and forth. I'd requested that I be allowed to interview them on camera for the film. They declined. But they were very well aware of the cases. I sent them very specific information about the factories and the individuals who were involved. And I think as a result of the pressure, it must have definitely played a role.
The positive changes on the part of Apple, notwithstanding, shaming companies into changing their behavior is not necessarily going to help workers. Who's responsible for actually taking care of the health and safety of workers? Is it the Chinese government? Would it be a union? Is there anyone who is tasked to actually help these individuals and protect them?
The Chinese government has laws on the books, and they're very good laws. They're not being enforced, though. The factories know what the laws are. The regulations are very clear, and they choose to ignore them because they know that they're not going to be paying penalties in most cases. But what's happening now is with so many thousands of workers falling ill and workers that are losing their hands in the faulty machinery, there's thousands of people every year who are making compensation claims against the factories, and that's going to become a very huge bill in the future.
Heather White, director and producer of Who Pays the Price? The Human Cost of Cheap Electronics. Heather, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.